All right, please lie on your back. And bring your attention to how you rest on the floor. And how do you bring your attention to how you rest on the floor today? That is, where do you start, for example? Could be, how do you start? Do you start at a particular location? Does your attention go to something? Do you move your attention to something like discomfort or to comfort in a particular place or an overall sense? And what do you find if you go either to a particular place or location, that is, what do you find if your attention is drawn to an overall sense? So regardless of how you started yourself, bring your attention to first the left heel resting against the floor, and how it rests. Note that. That's particulars, like what part of the heel rests against the floor, the left heel. How does that relate to your sense of the angle of the left foot? Tipped out to the side, likely. Then compare to the right. Or bring your attention first to the right and make a note of what you find there. What part of the heel rests on the floor, how firmly, what the angle of the foot is like in your estimation, and then compare the two sides. How are they different? Is there something different about where the contact is? Is there something different about how far from the pelvis the heel, contact the heel makes with the floor feels, or anything else that you noted on the left side? How is it different on the right? Of course, you make that distinction. You can travel up the left leg and note the or any space you find behind the left leg, between the leg and the floor, where the calf comes back into contact with the floor, if it does. Then note what's happening on the right side there, what you find behind the leg and where the leg contacts the floor behind you. And compare the two. How are they similar? How are they different? Well, you can move up the left leg again and find out what's happening in the left knee and the left thigh and the left side of the pelvis, the left buttock. What's the contact with the floor like? Where do you feel clearly in contact? Where less clear? Where clearly out of contact with the floor, perhaps? Away from the floor? And bring your attention to the right. Similar locations on the other side. And then compare the two. They're likely different for most of us. Some part of the pelvis rest against the floor a little different on the right? Or you, does that imply a turn in the pelvis a little bit to you? And bring your attention up into the more the middle of yourself, the low back, the bottom of it near the sacrum, the top of it somewhere in the rib cage where you rest on the floor. Are you away from the floor at some point? Though, of course, we just have one trunk. It is sided. Is one side closer to the floor, farther away? Do you notice that in the ribs that make contact first? First meaning coming up from the up the spine from the pelvis. How about as you move up behind the upper chest, how the two shoulders rest on the floor, what part of the shoulder blade touches? Whether that question makes sense to you. At any rate, how different is it from left to right? And then how are those differences behind the rib cage or at the rib cage behind you on the floor, how are they reflected in your breathing, the movements of breathing? Do you know difference from left to left, between left and right? Maybe something about the way the low ribs move, how they expand to the sides or come forward or go back as you inhale. Is that different from the left on the right, or different from the right on the left? And note how the left arm rests on the floor, what part of the elbow, how the upper arm is turned, bringing the elbow into contact in a particular way on the left. How the fingers of the left hand and rest on the floor or don't rest on the floor. What the angle of the arm is. In other words, the space, what the space is like between the elbow and the left side. Or the left hand and the left side, or the upper arm. Or your sense of the whole length of the arm out to the side. What that's like on the left. And then take the right into consideration, and maybe immediately note difference, having already considered the left. It's an interesting part of awareness through movement that, of course, if I look at you resting on the floor, I know difference in my taking a look at you, in the way the arms are, the legs are, positioned relative to another, but you find the distinctions in your own experience, the difference in your own experience. Well, if you come back to the something a little more central, the neck and head, you could note where you come away from the floor, somewhere at the upper back, the spine there and the thoracic part of it, where you come away from the floor, and where then the head rests. And what is that, how is that, the where the head rests related to the position of the head? Is the head turned a little to the right so that the right side of the head is a little more in contact in the back? Or the other way? And how about up and down? Where does the nose point? If you were standing on the floor like this, would you be looking above the horizon or below the horizon? And then once, compare a sort of overall sense of the right and left. And find the midline. Right and left, you know, presume the presence of a central location or line in this case, a plane dividing the right and left. And once you have just a sense of differences right and left, maybe related to muscular tone or contact with the floor or sense of length from one limb to the other, anything that appears to you, once you've got that, maybe you can remember something about it for later, and then roll to one side and come up to sit. And put the soles of the feet together and rest back on your hands. Just pause here for a moment and note where you put your hands and what direction the fingers point without changing anything just yet. Get a sense, do you feel support, like the arms are reliably supporting you? And what's going on in the knees and the hip joints? But first, try turning the fingers the other way. If they're pointed backward, point them forward and see what changes when you do that. For most of us, then the elbows bend a little bit, and maybe you know you could have a little more mobility there. You could move around a little bit, like if you wanted to lean a little back or forward. But if you switch the fingers so that they point back, the elbows tend to maybe even lock a little bit so that you can reliably lean back. And then try putting them farther back. So you move the hands away from the pelvis and see, can you really rest onto the arms there and have a sense of support? And then try bringing them very close to the pelvis and see what happens in terms of the comfort of the position or whether you can rest. Really put them right next to the pelvis and try what that's like, where you have basically no support or very little support. All right, and then put them back where you want, where you feel like you can reliably lean into the arms and find support there. So that's really clearly the case. So put them a little bit behind you so they're not too close to the pelvis. And now begin here to tip the pelvis forward and back. So the pelvis rolls on the floor a little bit so that more the tailbone rolls onto the floor and then comes away. See what that's like before you do too much else. How much else is included? So you roll once a little forward so that the top of the pelvis comes forward and the sit bones come a little more onto the floor maybe. Then you roll back so that you roll a little more onto the tailbone. And know what happens in the trunk when you roll the pelvis this way. How much of the trunk are you aware of moving? And is the head involved at all? Does the head move forward and back? Does it move relative to the trunk? How's the rib cage involved? This is just sort of an initial check, you know, what you find out when you try this movement for the first time here. What's included in your image of the action? All right, then just leave it and come to rest on your back. All right, roll up to sit again some way and come again to sit with the soles of the feet together. Really taking support in the arms, leaning back onto the hands. And really put the soles of the feet together. So when you hear the soles of the feet, if you bring them into play here, are the toes together? Which toes? Are the heels? The ball of the feet? Ball of the foot on each foot? And now, keeping that contact clear, tip the pelvis again, forward and back, and note if anything happens in the knees if you make the movement a little bit larger. Is there a point where the knees come a little away from the floor? And a point where maybe they drop toward the floor a little bit? If you try to make the movement a little more fully distributed so more of you is involved. And see what that's like. And how about the back? When does the back, the low back, go back toward the floor behind you? And when does it come forward? That is related to which tip of the pelvis. So likely, since the pelvis is not a joint but a bone, the differentiation's in the low back and in the hip joints. So as you roll more onto the sit bones and the top of the pelvis comes forward, so comes forward the low back. Which, of course, has an effect through the chest and the head. And when you roll the other way, what happens? What happens in the low back and in the chest, the two shoulders, the two knees? Okay, just pause in sitting however you like. You can change your feet or your hands or anything. Just pause sitting up for a moment. Now come back to this position with the soles of the feet together, with the hands behind you so that you can rest. Lean back into the two arms. Feel the quality of that support. And then bring your hands right alongside the pelvis, or even take them off the floor and see if it's possible to tip the pelvis here with no support from the hands or very little. What's that like? Is it possible even? What changes? Does the movement become smaller? Certainly the shoulders do something different. Maybe the knees are involved differently here. Maybe they come away from the floor and back differently. Then take the hands back to the floor and find a spot for you that you like where you can really lean back on the hands reliably and begin to tip the pelvis again and really note the pelvis is connected to the head by the way of the spine. So it's possible to, as you tip the pelvis back, that the head comes a little forward, the chin comes closer to the chest as the whole back gets longer and the front gets shorter. And then as you tip the pelvis the other way, maybe you look up to the ceiling, the chin will come away from the chest. So the what we might call an arching movement, and then a rounding movement as you roll the pelvis the other way. So you feel the whole of the spine moving between the pelvis and the head. When you start to get a sense of that, know what happens to the two shoulders. If you're taking support there, how do the shoulder blades maybe move a little together as the shoulders roll back as you look up? And then as you tip the pelvis so that the sacrum comes closer to the floor and you look down, maybe you can find that the shoulder blades come apart. And that you really involve everything in the movement here. All right, then leave it and come to rest on your back. So what do you find here in your contact with the floor now? Or the organization of the rib cage, the pelvis and the head? Or difference side to side? Has anything shifted even after just these few movements? All right, come to sit once again with the soles of the feet clearly together, the arms behind. You can lean back and support the trunk with the arms. And now tip the pelvis back so the low back rounds and the chin comes toward the chest. Come in and out of that position once or twice, and then leave the, next time the back is round and the front is short, leave the chin near the chest and see if you can tip the pelvis, leaving the chin near the sternum. What changes when you do that? You know, manage, of course, you can rest at any point. What's different here if you consciously leave the head out or leave the head in a fixed position relative to the front of the rib cage? Does that limit the movement a little bit? How does it impact it? For most of us, that limits the turning of the pelvis. It's a little easier perhaps to tip back where the head would come down. And then allow the head to be fully involved so that as you bring the belly forward and the low back shortens, the head comes up, the chin moves away from the chest, and then as you roll the pelvis in the other direction, the shoulders round, the shoulder blades come apart in the back, the chin comes forward and down toward the chest. And just alternate those two movements, seeing if you think about a whole movement there, what happens throughout yourself, particularly in the shoulder blades, the front of the shoulders, how the chest folds in the front as the low back gets longer and rounder. As you go the other way, perhaps the knees open a little bit. And you just take care with your hip joints too. If you need a rest, you adjust that, please. And then come to rest on your back. All right, come once again to sit, the soles of the feet together and the arms behind for support. Now this time, just begin to do what you need to do to lighten the feet on the floor just slightly so you could slide the feet a few inches to the left, a few inches to the right. So you keep the soles of the feet together and now instead of tilting, just slide the feet a little on the floor, a little to your left, a little to your right. If the floor is a little sticky, that may be tricky. You may have to lean back a little, but just see what that's like. It's a little in one direction once or twice, and rather than going from side to side, try out one side in the middle and then the other side in the middle. See if you're holding your breath or if you can make the movements distinct, and what do you do with your knees, etc. And pause in the middle a sec. So you find the middle again in a slightly different way. And take the feet a little to the right and leave them there, but keep your head and shoulders facing forward where they were before. So now the turn is in the pelvis, and now here begin to tip the pelvis forward and back. So really lean back into the arms so that the shoulders can move. And so what does tipping the pelvis mean here? Do you tip the pelvis relative to the shoulders and face, or do you tip the pelvis so that it goes toward the feet, since the feet are a little to the side? So you try out both, or each. First, tip a few times so that the face stays forward, but you tip the pelvis toward the feet, and then tip the pelvis forward in the room relative where the face is pointing. So the face stays forward, the shoulders stay forward. And note if that brings you perhaps a little over one buttock or the other, if you orient toward the feet, or if you orient forward. So likely you can find both sides of the pelvis, both buttocks, if you point toward your feet. But if you try to stay forward in the room, you may find you roll a little over the left buttock. It could be different from you. It could be it's more on the right. So stay forward in the room now so that the face is forward, the feet are off to the side, and you roll a little bit more over that left buttock to come forward and back. So rather than pointing out over the right knee, just point yourself forward in the room. The head and shoulders are forward and the feet are off to the right, and come forward relative to the trunk. So you're a little on the left pelvis, left side of the pelvis maybe. So how's that different from when everything is arranged together? Okay, leave it and rest on your back. Note any difference you find side to side here. So as we continue the lesson, we have more variations on configuration of the feet and the hips and the legs to clarify this action of articulating the pelvis and including the whole of the back and the head, shoulders. All right, once again, come up to sit with the soles of the feet together and the arms behind. This time, take the feet a little to the left. So actually, before you do that, note where you're facing when everything is arranged relatively symmetrically, and leave your shoulders and your head, your face in that direction, and move just the feet off to the left several inches, somewhere comfortable. So note that now the face is facing forward, we'll call that forward, and the feet are a little off to the left. And now tilt the pelvis here, once tilting the pelvis toward the feet, and once tilting the pelvis in the direction the face and shoulders point, since they're not in the same direction. And you find when you come forward relative to your original facing, are you over one buttock more than the other? Which buttock is that? And what's the involvement of the chest and the head here? Have you left out things from earlier on which were clear? How the chin comes toward the chest as the back lengthens, how the chin comes away as the front lengthens? And then if you note, you're rolling a little more over one buttock than the other when you come forward in the room, since you're sort of the angle of the pelvis is out over that left foot, maybe a little bit more, since you're the facing of the feet and the facing of the face are a little bit different. See if you can come over the other buttock, whichever one you were favoring. And just clarify that for yourself once or twice, coming, taking the pelvis toward the feet and once toward where the face is facing. Keep the face where it was, more or less, the shoulders where they were, so that there's a little turn in the middle of yourself. And once you've got that clarified or you've just had enough, come to rest on your back. And do you notice any difference in the contact with the floor or the breathing or the sense of length on one side or the other here at this point? If so, for yourself, how are the two sides different? What's going on in the hip joints, the breathing? And of course, take it easy with your hip joints if they're a little tired, you be sure you rest. All right, now here on the back, draw the feet together so the knees come out to the sides and you put the soles of the feet one to the other. And really bring the soles of the feet fully together so that the toes are touching, the balls of the feet by the big toe are touching, the heels. And know if any accommodation you have to make in the how far apart the knees are. Find a relative comfort here and try tipping the pelvis here in this orientation. So once taking the low back to the floor so that the tailbone lifts, and then once pressing the low belly down and forward, down toward the feet and forward so that the back extends, comes away from the floor. Go slowly enough so you can feel what happens in the spine and in the two hip joints. And note, are you including the head? How does the head move on the floor when you roll the pelvis? So in this configuration, when you take the low back to the floor, the roll of the pelvis pushes the spine up in the direction of the head. The chin can come away from the chest a little bit. And then as you go in the other direction and you roll the pelvis so the low back comes away from the floor, what happens to the chin? Goes in the other direction, coming closer to the sternum. And if you can reflect on what was going on when you were sitting, it's neither here nor there, it's just a difference given the configuration. It's opposite, right? Previously, when the back went into the floor, the chin came toward the chest, and now it's the other way around. So the position makes a difference. So know what you're, do the knees come a little together or away from the floor at any point? At which point of the tip? Does that make sense for your comfort or to organize the movement more clearly? Know what happens in the shoulders. The spine pushes the ribs between the shoulders a little bit, right? Shoulders rest on the floor. All right, and then extend the legs and rest. What's your sense of the pelvis resting on the floor after this movement. The organization of the back and the chest. The head. All right, draw the feet together again here on your back and place the sole of one foot clearly to the sole of the other. And this time leave the face wherever it is, pointing more or less forward, and take up a tilting of the pelvis. So you leave the head out. See what goes on in the head when you tip the pelvis here. So rather than letting the head roll, keep it fixed forward. It may be that the head slides on the floor a little bit because, of course, the pelvis still pushes the spine as it rolls in one direction and pulls the spine down in the other. If you hold the head still, what's the impact on the whole movement when you keep the face forward in this way? Because the pelvis pushes and pulls the head, there's maybe the attempt to move it there, but you just restrict it so that maybe, again, as I say, the head likely maybe will slide on the floor a little bit rather than rolling. And then let the head and neck become involved again, and as you tip the pelvis, the back goes into the floor and the chin moves away from the chest, the back comes away from the floor and the chin comes toward the chest. You feel this relationship between the two hip joints and the pelvis and the head, the whole of the trunk and spine between. Note how there's movement, relative movement at the shoulder blades and the shoulder girdle as well, which just rests on the floor more or less. And then leave it, extend the legs and rest. All right, draw the feet together once again. Place the soles together. And now place the outside edge of the left foot on the inside edge of the right foot. So you lift the left foot and set it up on the foot there. Maybe it's a little closer to the ankle so that the left foot rests on the right foot and the knee is out to the side. And this changes the configuration of the legs a little bit. And take up this tipping of the pelvis here with the legs in this configuration. See what's a little different. Does the movement through the trunk or in the two hip joints change at all? What do you do with the two knees? Does it make sense for them to come together and forward a little bit at some point and back and away in the other direction? If so, which direction? You can find out for yourself which direction it makes sense to bring the knees a little together and which apart. And note with this little difference in the position of the feet how that works. So the knees are out to the side here, if that's comfortable at least. And right, then switch over the feet so that the left foot is on the floor and the right foot is on the left. Try it out here. Immediately check out, how's that different? How does that affect the two hip joints? The movement of the pelvis, And note, see if it's possible to really roll the pelvis down what feels like the center of it, even though the feet are in this asymmetrical configuration. So the two buttocks rest evenly on the floor. You roll along the line of the pelvis despite the asymmetrical configuration of the legs. And does this affect the involvement of the head or the shoulders, the rib cage at all? Is it different from the other side? And leave it and extend the legs and rest. I'm going to draw the feet up, put the soles of the feet together, and just try out in the symmetrical configuration what it's like here. If you draw a line between the two sides of your pelvis, where are the two soles of the feet relative to that, and is it possible to roll the pelvis right along that line here? You just sort of approximate it for yourself. Do you think the feet are on that central line? Where is that in your sense of it? Then check it out. Does your sensation in the hip joints and the buttock make sense? Just no differences side to side, and just roll the pelvis up and down and see if it, you can compare your sensation to your idea of the movement and do what you need to do to roll right down the middle of the pelvis as clearly as is available at the moment. What happens with the head and the two shoulders and the two sides of the rib cage? Are they equally involved also? Is that a challenging project to roll right down the middle? Or does it seem relatively clear? Or maybe it's not so clear. All right, then extend the legs and rest. All right, notice any sense of length on one side or the other, the whole sense of resting on the floor, on your back. Any differences side to side? How the two sides are arrayed along that central line or central plane? And then come to sit again with the soles of the feet together and supporting yourself on the hands behind. And keeping the full sole of each foot in contact with the other, rest behind on the arms as we did early on. Take support through the shoulders and the arms clearly. Make sure the arms far enough back so you lean a little bit. And then try out this simple movement of tilting the pelvis, or this original movement of tilting the pelvis now. What's the involvement of the spine and the head like? The two knees, the two hip joints. How fully is the movement distributed throughout? What happens with the head as the low back comes forward? How do the shoulders, when do the shoulder blades come together as the shoulders go back? When the back, low back comes toward the floor and the pelvis tilts in that direction, how does the chin come to the chest? How do the shoulders come a little more together in the front? When does it make sense to bring the knees a little together, when apart? Or when do you find that happening? And just make the movement a little simpler and just rock back and forth between the two in a way that lets you include everything. The head going forward and back, the chin coming away from the chest and toward. The pelvis is the driver of the action, but everything else is included. The head moves freely on the top of the spine, along with the neck and shoulders, of course. And then leave it and rest on your back. All right, come to sit once again and bring the soles of the feet together, lean back on the hands and this time tilt the knees to the side so that the right knee gets closer to the floor. You take support in your hands so that that's relatively stable, the shoulders and the head, and then tip the knee to the right and back to the middle, so that the pelvis tips to take the right knee to the floor and then back. Just see what's required to do that. Maybe the left knee lifts a little from the floor. What do you have to do to do that? So you keep the distance between the knees relatively fixed and tip the pelvis to take the right knee toward the floor. And which hand do you need to do that? Which hand do you use more? Which hand do you use for support? So for most of us, that's the left hand. So try lifting the right hand away from the floor. Maybe set it in your lap or just set it behind, leave it behind yourself on the center line and see if you can just use the left hand and tip to the right. See what that's like. Did you really need that one hand? And if you need both still, just see if you can lighten the right hand a little bit on the floor. Or maybe you have to put it somewhere else. So you do it so you do it easily. Don't make it a lot of work. Then switch hands, put both hands on the floor, and see if it's possible to lift the left hand. What would you have to do? Do you have to place it in front? Can you just set it behind yourself somewhere closer to the middle? It's a different action entirely. Would you take the left hand off the floor and try it out. So what do you do with the whole head and trunk? Is it possible to make this possible? So you distinctly tip the pelvis to the right. And if you still need two hands, you just use the left one a little bit less. And then try a few times, what can you do to take both hands off the floor? Where would you put them? And tip the knees to the right and back to the middle. What do you have to do that? Is there a little more balance there? So you don't use the hands at all. They're not holding on to anything or resting on anything. How does the pelvis move on the floor? What happens in the low back? What do you do with the head? Does it tip to one side or the other? Does it go with the tilt or away from it? And put the two arms behind, use the arms, and try out tilting now, having made these distinctions. What's it like to take support through the shoulders and tip the pelvis to the right? OK, Okay, leave it and rest on your back. And think that sequence through for yourself, what it was like to do that to the right, and imagine it, the sensations of it, the positions, what the change in pressure is like over the side of the, from one side of the pelvis, how one sit bone lifts, and think it through to the other side, to the left. First, supporting with both hands and tipping the pelvis to the left to take the left knee closer to the floor and the right farther away. Likely that you depend on the right hand, and then thinking it, think what it would be like to lift the left hand and then to switch to lifting the right and then to lifting both. And when you have a sense, you've imagined it a few times, sorted out that progression, on your own time, come to sit and try it out on the left side for yourself. So as you begin to try it out to the left in actuality, how does that differ from your imagination of it? And how does it differ from the other side? And do you do differently on this side? If it's easier, what part of the rib cage and head, what directions do they go? Where do you have more work on this side compared to the other side? Again, if it's more work in this direction, what's doing more work? Where do you work more? Be sure to try out the variations of either lifting or reducing the pressure in one hand and the other. See if you need the arms to tip the pelvis in this way. And then leave it and come to your back. Now here on your back, draw the soles of the feet together. The knees come out to the side, place the soles fully in contact, and try tipping off to the right here on your back. What do you do with the through the middle of yourself? Now the shoulders and head face forward, and you tip the pelvis to the right and come back to the middle. Several times. The head stays forward, the shoulders stay forward. So there's this differentiation in the middle of yourself through the trunk, the low back. And note where you work and whether you shorten on one side or there's involvement of the neck or one shoulder. And then next time you're at the middle, try it to the left. And see immediately, is that set of places where you work or lengthen or shorten different to this side? How is it different? And if it's easier to one side or the other, where do you do differently on the easy side? And to try that out, go from side to side, from the left to the right, without pausing in the middle, and see if one side can inform the other, if the easier side can inform the less easy side. If there's something different you're doing, does the front of the belly come forward a little differently on one side? Is there something different you do in the top hip joint? What happens in the right shoulder or the left to the easier side that you could bring over to the other side? Right, and please do that a little bit more as you're to the, you know, as long as you're interested in it. And when you're ready to leave it, extend the legs and rest on your back. All right, before we come to the end of the lesson, come once more to sit and try out this original movement of sitting with the soles of the feet together and supporting yourself on the hands behind. And try out this movement of tilting the pelvis now, here at the end of all these variations. See what it's like. See what the involvement of the sternum, the chin, the shoulder blades, the two knees is like. So you, now you're tipping forward and back, the original movement. So both knees are away from the floor and you lengthen the front and shorten the back and then lengthen the back and shorten the front. See what it's like here. What's the distribution of the work like? How available is the whole spine? How does the pelvis involve the head or implicate it? What do you do to make it symmetrical, easier, fuller? And how's that different from when you first did this movement at the beginning of the lesson? All right, then leave it, come to your back. Note your sense of length, the sense of contact with the floor throughout. What seems different from the beginning of the lesson? What seems similar? And comparing those two, what's changed since the beginning of the lesson? Is the position of the low back different, the two shoulder blades, the orientation of the head perhaps, quality of your breathing, maybe something like a sense of flatness or a sense of length or depth? Firmness or softness. And when you are ready to do so, take your time about it, but roll to a side, come up to sit and then to stand. Pause in standing with you, get your feet where you want them. You're balanced over the 2 feet. What's it like in this orientation to gravity? And note any change you may experience, any change you or difference you do experience as ephemeral as it may be or as long-lasting as it may become. Thank you, everyone.